Israel National Radio presents News, Views, and Call-Ins with Tamar Yona.
You all know Wednesday night and Thursday is Holocaust Memorial Day here in Israel. I do not do shows on Wednesdays and Thursdays. I do the beginning of the week, and I would not be able to get to anything that had to do with the Holocaust, which is very important, especially since I'm the daughter myself. I'm the daughter of a Holocaust survivor, and so I wanted to do something. And we have joining us now Shlomit Krieger. Shlomit Krieger is an author, and she edited a book which is entitled Marking Humanity: Stories, Poems, and Essays by Holocaust Survivors. And she's here to join us tonight to tell us a little bit about this book and why it's so interesting about the Holocaust. That's not just a history book where you'll learn about the Holocaust, but basically these are submissions from Holocaust survivors themselves who've written essays and poems and stories. And she edited this book, put it all together, and she's here to join us. Good evening, Shlomit Krieger.
Hi, good evening.
It's good to have you on.
Yes, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Now, the question a lot of us have, because it's already over 60 years, and a lot has been written on the Holocaust already, but why did you create this book called Marking Humanity?
I created it for several purposes. Firstly, I wanted to help celebrate the indomitable spirits of the Holocaust survivors, and I wanted to provide them with an opportunity to share with others what came through their hearts and souls during and after that dark period in history, and allow others to learn more through the firsthand accounts. I also hope that through the creative process, the survivors could achieve some level of release or healing, because I know that a lot of survivors have a lot of difficulty speaking about their experiences. And the main thing is, I also recognize that there are a number of core lessons from the survivors and the Holocaust that I wanted people to learn from, and that I think are very relevant in various communities around the world today.
Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right about Holocaust survivors not wanting to talk about their experiences. In fact, it took my father years and years and years to start telling us stories of what he saw, what he experienced, and his stories. Now, you mentioned that some of your book's core lessons from the past are still relevant today. So what are some of them?
Well, first of all, there's the continuing spread of anti-Semitism, additional genocides, increased bullying, and various other acts of discrimination, hatred, and violence that have since occurred around the world. So clearly there's a lot of work still left to do to create more changes and improvements in societies. There's also the resiliency in overcoming extremely difficult situations and learning from experiences, as the survivors have done, choosing one's attitude, rising above hatred and tyranny, taking accountability for one's actions, and also, I think very important, is becoming more conscious of how one chooses to act and think in response to various situations. And a key message from the book that I wanted to impart is recognizing that every single person helps to shape the world and can strive to be a light within his own family and community.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, going through something as I can't even use the word traumatic, because it's not powerful enough of a word, but having seen what the survivors of the Holocaust have seen, how has it affected their outlook on humanity?
Well, there's no doubt that they've endured a lot of pain and sadness over what they've experienced, but I found that many of them still have a lot of compassion for humanity, and they've held on to the hope that one day people of all backgrounds will learn to get along. For example, survivor Fred Andy Ambram of the United States is working with his entire family to help put an end to genocide everywhere. And another survivor, Gita Malvina, who's in Toronto, Canada, she says that she tries to express a view to mankind that love, freedom, and friendship are the most important things in the world, and each person on Earth can and has to contribute something good in order to make the world safer.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things you have in here is a Rosh Hashanah. People who know what the Rosh Hashanah holiday is, it's the new year for Israel, for the Jewish people. One of the stories in here, Rosh Hashanah in 1944 in Birkenau, in Auschwitz-Birkenau.
Yes.
Very, very powerful stories here. So were most of the survivors that you featured in your book adults or children during the Holocaust?
Five of the survivors were adults during the Holocaust, and the rest were children.
Mm-hmm. And my father, you know, I'm thinking back, was a child just going into his early teens, and I don't think even was able to have a bar mitzvah because it was just at that time that Hitler came into Poland and put everyone in the ghettos and the camps.
Oh, wow.
Do you have a personal connection to the Holocaust yourself?
Yes, my late grandfather, Krusha Krieger, who passed away in December 2010, he was in the Soviet Red Army during the Holocaust. And while he was fighting there, his parents, most of his siblings, and other relatives were murdered in the Minsk ghetto in Belarus. And he shared bits and pieces of his experiences with my family, but mainly they were very painful for him to talk about.
And when did he start talking about that to you, that you were so touched that, you know, later on you were going to write a book about this?
It was mainly, I would say, like when he was really old, after age 70, and yeah, just very later in life, but very, very little.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to get my dad to translate because my grandfather didn't speak Russian very well, so there was that communication difficulty as well.
Oh, you didn't speak to your grandfather directly? You had to go through your father interpreting all the time?
Mostly, yes, because my grandfather didn't speak English well, and also we came here from Israel, so I never learned Russian, and we speak Hebrew at home.
Hmm. This is fascinating. So now, in addition to the 6 million Jews that were murdered in the Holocaust, the Nazis targeted other groups as well. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, there were other groups, including Russians, Polish people, homosexuals, Roma or Gypsies, the disabled, even religious dissidents such as Jehovah's Witnesses. It pretty much became dangerous for anyone that disagreed with the Nazi ideologies or that they, for some reason or other, believed was inferior to them.
Now, in your book, you write, you've edited here that you have essays, poems, and stories. Tell us about some of the examples in the survivors' pieces of people who rose above the Nazi ideologies and actually helped other people, helped other victims.
Sure. Firstly, I want to point out that the fact that there were so many cases during the Holocaust when people chose to rise above evil inclinations and help the victims, I think is particularly significant and awe-inspiring considering the circumstances. In Marking Humanity, Tamara Duell, who had passed away in Israel in 2007, she noted how some of the women who had been captured with her at a concentration camp had cut a 3-centimeter piece from the little amount of bread that they each received, and they built a cake out of it for her birthday. Also, Eva Braun of the United States recalled how a Nazi guard at Auschwitz had brought her food as well as a blanket to shield her from the cold. And another example is Thomas Raphael Burney, who now lives in Stratford, Ontario in Canada, and he related how a Jewish male had been hidden by a Catholic priest who had raved and ranted against the Jews, but he had ended up also choosing to save that boy.
Hmm. I noticed that you have an interest in the use of creative arts for self-expression and healing. Did some of the survivors that were featured in your book feel some sense of release or healing through their works?
Yes. One survivor that stands out in particular is Ruth Barnett, who now lives in England. She told me how important creative writing has been for her from an early age. And during the war, she and her older brother had fled from Germany to England on a children's transport, and they lived with various foster families and at a hostel. And her experiences convinced her that she was bad and unlovable for anyone to cope with for very long. However, she realized that she could delight her school teachers with her writings and her paintings, and the activities made her feel as though she could achieve something worthwhile at the same time as expressing her turbulent feelings, which nobody explained to her, and lifting her mood. She also has a poem in the book called Mother, which she said she wrote at age 16, and she says that the poem embodies her emotional struggle to come to terms with her mother, having found it difficult to relate to her parents after 10 years of separation.
Hmm. Why don't you share with our listeners a short poem or an excerpt from a story in the book? And again, the name of the book is called Marking Humanity, Stories, Poems, and Essays by Holocaust Survivors.
Sure. I'd like to share at least a bit from a poem. Actually, I think it's the one that you mentioned by George Scott, who's now in Toronto, Canada. It's Rosh Hashanah 1944 in Birkenau. I just want to point out that actually George was the first survivor who contributed to the book, and he's actually part of the reason I also decided to collect writings from survivors. He had survived the Auschwitz camp. He was just a teenager when he was there during the Holocaust, and he had lost most of his family during the war. And then when I met him just in 2009, he was 78 years old, but he had such a zest for life and such positive energy. And he sometimes mentioned how happy he was and that he still believed in God. And I really found him so inspiring considering all that he had been through. So that was part of the reason that I also became inspired to see also, because George writes poetry, and I wanted to see how many other survivors there were that had these creative pieces that haven't been shared with the greater public.
Well, before you read the story then, I mean, how did you find the survivors?
Well, I put together a flyer with my purpose for creating the book and the submission guidelines, and I sent it out to through community centers, Holocaust museums, various contacts locally and internationally, and people just helped to spread the word that way.
Okay, so we only have like 2 minutes left, so let's go for some excerpt here.
All right, so here it is from the middle of the poem. In one of our barracks, on the odd numbers side, 100 concrete holes, back-to-back, to sit on. 3 circular wash basins, metal rings, 18 inches off the ground. When stood on, chlorinated cold water poured. Spray that brought me back to life. The only place in here for us to drink. Entering on the left, on wooden shelves, no shortage of soap. Stacks unwrapped, RIF stamped on them, in ample supply. They were pasty gray like death. No, wait, not pure Jewish fat, we are now assured. Like echoes in an infernal cathedral, the sound of Mengele's boots approach. They halt, closer they draw. The unstoppable beat of our numb lives quickens in our chests, the dividing encounter. Eye-seeking eyes, light-seeking light, piercing steel-gray eyes, a prodding look, a tired face, a pair of steel-gray eyes. I scooped up my clothes and scurried to the group where he motioned me to go. A fresh lungful of Silesian air housed my panic. Another shameful, ignoble day crowded into eternity. Panic and horror, pictures cannot describe. The sparks of God within us all prompt me to remember our voiceless outrage. I did not look a while, although I knew Toronto's Yad Vashem stands here. Not merely a monument and warning, but the live hopes, our own parts, innocent souls still demanding justice. Martyred beloved ones, holy, holy, inextinguishable light. We shall remember you always. You continue showing us the way. As long as thought leads to thought, as long as spring follows spring, we shall remember you. You are alive in our dreams and in our prayers, in the resolve of our better judgment, in flights of our imagination, in the sparkle of our children's eyes, in the whispering of hope.
And people can get the book at what website?
Through various online retailers such as Amazon, Indigo, Barnes & Noble, and various other retailers listed on the Soul Inscriptions website.
Okay. And again, people can go to www.soulinscriptionspress.com. Shlomit Krieger, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.